You know, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in." You're not going to understand it until you let him in, until you open the door. God doesn't force himself, but he comes by invitation. You need to invite Jesus in. You need to ask him to come in. You need to open the door and trust him. He'll only do you good. You know, Jesus said no one can come to the Father except that they are drawn. No one can come to me, he said, unless they're drawn by the Father. So, when God is calling you, when God is speaking to you, when God is drawing you, listen. Listen to his voice. See that you do not refuse him who speaks from heaven. Today, God is offering forgiveness for your sins, pardon. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. But today, if you can still hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He says, open up your heart and let me in. I want to save you. But you've got to let me. You've got to trust me. Lord, we just ask that you will direct our thoughts, our words, our actions today, Lord. Lord, let it be according to your will today. Not as we will, but as you will, Lord. Lord, we have maybe a lot of good ideas, at least good in our own mind, but Lord, your way is right. And Lord, we just don't want to do good things. We don't want just good ideas. We want to know your heart. We want to know your mind, Father. We want to know your will. For that is the way everlasting. So unveil our eyes, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that the Lord moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. How many have discovered already that you just can't totally figure out God? A couple of you, okay. Don't attempt it, folks. We will never know him perfectly, at least not in this situation we're in right now, and not while we're in this earth suit in this place. But what God wants us to know, he will reveal to us by his Spirit. God is a spirit, amen?
Amen.
And so he will reveal to us what he wants us to know by his Spirit. And so we need to trust God with the mysteries of life. There are going to be questions. Does anybody beside myself have some unanswered questions yet? But how many have discovered that God truly is good?
Amen.
Okay. How many have discovered that God is real to you, right?
Amen.
He's in your life. He's transformed you.
Yes.
So there is evidence of our faith. There is substance to our faith. There's a reality to it. Amen?
Amen?
It's not superstitious, which would be blind faith. But in believing, we actually begin to see. By believing, God just wants to be believed. That what he tells us is enough to believe. You can believe him. You can trust his word. He wants to be believed. Because the only thing that pleases God is faith. Faith is believing him.
Amen.
Do you want to please God?
Yeah.
Start believing him. Take him at his word, right?
Yes.
Because his word is true. His word is good.
Yes.
When God says something, he's never lied. He's not a liar. Amen. The devil's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But God does not lie. He's the truth.
Yes.
Jesus says, I am the truth. When they saw Jesus, they saw God in a man, the truth revealed. And if you want to know what normal looks like, look at the normal one, Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to know what truth is, look to Him. Listen to His words. These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life-giving.
Amen.
So God wants us to understand His great love for us. That's the first thing He wants you to know, is that He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He bled and died for you on that cross. Amen?
Amen?
And His Son. That's how much Jesus loves you. He bled for you. He died for you. He died in our place. That's how much He loves. That's the first thing He wants people to know, is how much He really loves us. You know what? None of us here first loved God. I know some of you are too spiritual for that, but none of us first loved God. Don't overthink it either, right? He first loved us.
Yes.
He loved me first. He loved you first. And demonstrated His love for us in the cross.
Yes.
I remember seeing a poster a few years back, and then maybe you've seen it. It says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And He says, this much. And He spread His arms and died for me. And He spread His arms and He died for you. That's how much He loves you.
Amen.
So God does not mean, God does not want bad for us. He wants only good. Folks, I'm kind of going to go into something here, and Lord willing, we're going to continue it until He tells me to stop. But I want to talk to you about a subject that I feel is very important. It's the subject of witchcraft. I know some people, they don't want to talk about it or listen, or maybe they're even afraid of the subject altogether. But how many know that we are not to be in any way fearful of our enemies? Because God has given us authority. Why? Because the spirit in us is greater than the spirit that's in the world. So we're not to be afraid of these things. But when you hear this question, what is witchcraft? What do you think of when you hear the word witchcraft? Now, maybe the first picture you might get is the Wizard of Oz and the Wicked Witch of the West and you know, the black hat and the black this and the long nose with a wart on it and the broom. Now, certainly there is an element to that, isn't there? I mean, there are some people that even like to dress like that. And they practice the hardcore stuff. And usually people who are involved in the higher levels of it are not walking around showing off as if they're involved with it. Uh-huh. They may be wearing suits and ties. And so you have dabblers and you have people that are completely sold out for Satan. And usually it starts out with a little dabbling with what people may call white witchcraft, and then it progresses into, it's just still as ugly and black, of course, but it'll progressively get more demonic, and the person in the beginning will feel that they're in control and that these spirits are subject to them, but actually they'll find out after not too long that they're actually subject to these spirits. And all they wanted them to do was to open a door and allow them access into their lives. The devil wants to possess people so he can destroy people, so he can control and manipulate people. And so witchcraft has really a broad meaning, but I don't want to talk about so much about just the witchcraft. We know that it exists. There are covens that oppose the work of God, and they speak and try to pray curses on the church, and they sometimes even infiltrate within and they try to cause division and they want to destroy the work of God. And the Holy Spirit gives us discernment, and we, you know, should be staying close enough to God so that we will pick up on that when it's happening and shut it down. But I want to talk about a more subtle form of it that any one of us here can be subject to. I'm willing to bet, And I know some of you may not agree with this, but that's okay. I get to speak right now. That every one of us here have been influenced by a spirit of witchcraft. We've even been a party to it at times unknowingly. And so I want to talk about that. And before we get into it, I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 12. And most of what I'm going to be reading to you today is from the New Living Translation. So it may be hard for you to follow. So if you would just listen. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the land, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. Do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. That's called necromancy. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. There is a connection, folks, for you and I walking in victory and keeping ourselves pure. You cannot walk in victory, amen, and be defiled. You cannot worship demons, amen, and worship at the house of God too. Now, most people would not knowingly, you know, worship other gods. So the enemy is very subtle and he comes at us from different angles. And he tries to entice us with other things that we may not even consider to be idols. Sometimes he entices us with good things. Good things to distract us and to try to get us to worship the good thing rather than the God who gives all good things. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, witchcraft is listed as a sin unto death. It says, cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, sexually immoral, and those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now that word, most of us are familiar with this now, of witchcraft, is pharmakia, which means spell-giving potion or druggist, drug abuse. How many have ever considered that drug abuse is a form of sorcery? Yeah. Drug abuse is idolatry because what you're doing is you're deriving your pleasure or your stability, at least in a pseudo sense, from something other than the Lord. People are addicted to drugs. It becomes their obsession. And when you're obsessed with something, amen, you're actually worshiping it. And God says, you'll have no other gods before me. Why? Because he loves you and he's jealous over you. He doesn't want you to depend on anything except him. He doesn't want you to seek pleasure in the polluted methods that the world will offer you that lead to death. He doesn't want you to find peace or stability through artificial means. He wants you to find your rest in him. He wants you to discover that peace is possible through an abiding union with Jesus Christ. Peace that passes all understanding. A joy unspeakable full of glory. A perfect love that casts out all fear. God is all of that and more. If we will find our peace, our joy, our love, our contentment, our completion in him, you'll discover that you don't need the counterfeits. You don't need the cheap artificial stuff that the devil offers you to cope, to escape. You see, drugs give people a sense of being in control. You see, one explanation for that word, witchcraft, is intimidation and manipulation for domination. When a person uses fear and sometimes verbal manipulation so that they can control you and dominate you. And a person who operates in that spirit, which is a spirit of witchcraft, is usually an insecure person. And because of their inner insecurities, they feel that they have to control everything and everybody around them. Has anybody beside myself ever fallen at least temporarily into that trap before? Okay. In Galatians 5:19, witchcraft is referred to as a work of the flesh or the sin nature of man. Listed in verse 20, sorcery, idolatry. In some versions, it will say witchcraft there. In other words, it is a fruit of fallen man, the fallen nature of mankind, and not obviously the fruit of the Spirit of God. How many have realized that God is not a control freak? God is sovereign. God is a king. God is in command, amen, and in control. And God decrees as a king, has the authority to do, especially if you're a king who's created, amen, everybody. Does he not have the right and the authority to command? But when he speaks to us, he never violates our will to choose. He does give us choice, doesn't he? There's this debate over abortion. You know, pro-choice. People say, it's my right to choose. Well, actually, folks, that is true. It is your right to choose. However, I would encourage you to choose wisely, because the choices you make will affect you and can affect you the rest of your life. And if you're here and you've made that mistake, you know, God has healing for you. Amen. God can heal you. And he wants to. And he still loves you. But God does give us the right to choose. Whatever we want to do, we can do. Because God wants us to love him because he's so in love with you. And so he wants us to choose to love him. Otherwise, it would be forced. And you can't force love. Have you ever tried that? Yes. Sometimes we try so hard for people to love us that we make ourselves a nuisance. Say amen, ladies. Say amen, guys. Sometimes we think we want something so bad that we actually go step over the boundaries in trying to achieve it. And even if you do or are able to control or manipulate somebody emotionally to do what you think they should do for you, you'll still find out that it didn't ever satisfied you, and it certainly made the situation much worse. Because now you might have had somebody agree to do what you wanted them to do, but they didn't do it willingly. They did it because they were manipulated or because they were intimidated to do it. Amen? So that it's not real love. When a guy comes and he pressures a young lady to give herself to him, and he uses flattery. Talk it up, good guys, right? And so she thinks this guy's in love with her, when all the while he has an agenda. He just wants to manipulate and control. And sometimes men will use intimidation to get their way. Folks, that is a spirit of witchcraft. In Matthew 24, in verse 12, Jesus is really speaking here, I believe, of the days we're living in right now. And I want you to hear this. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love, agape, that's the love of God, of many will grow cold. If it grew cold, it means at one time it was hot. Right? It's a no-brainer. But because lawlessness, which that word means illegality or rebellion, and especially rebellion against established authority. Because of rebellion, because of lawlessness, because of illegality, the love of God in many will grow cold. You see, what happens is when we disobey the Spirit of God, even as believers, folks, it lends itself to setting ourselves up for offense, to be offended when people hurt you. Jesus said just prior to that verse that the time would come when men would be offended. Many would be offended. And they will betray one another. And then he said, and hate one another. Offense produces betrayal. And betrayal, if it's not dealt with, will produce hatred in the heart. And in John, it tells us, 1 John, it tells us that hatred in the heart is the same as what? Murder. And so, if a person is offended because of being violated, I want you to hear this, because of illegality, because someone took advantage of you. They broke the rules. They stepped over the boundaries. And now they have, in some way, violated you. If you and I do not guard against offense, then betrayal is right around the corner. And hatred. And when these things begin to creep into our hearts, it squeezes out the love of God. And even in the church, folks, there are bitter Christians. The love has grown cold. They say all the right things. They have all the scriptures. They can sing the songs. They can do church things. But there's something missing. And it's called love. There's an ember there somewhere, but it's been squashed. It's been covered over by all the stuff that we've accepted, that we've received. By receiving an offense, by becoming angry and bitter towards someone. How many know that you can't walk in love and bitterness at the same time? God wants you to forgive. Forgiveness keeps that off of you. Walking in His forgiveness keeps offense off of you so that you don't become bitter and your heart does not grow cold. So Jesus said this is going to be the situation in the last days. And it has to do again with intimidation, manipulation, rebellion on a grand scale. We are seeing rebellion in our days like never before in history. We are seeing nations overthrowing governments. Amen? Insurrections, coups, trying to dethrone this king. Man's attempt to manipulate and control, and through flattering speech, through manipulation, to get into positions of power, because we feel if I somehow can get to that level of authority and power, that will complete me and fulfill me and I'll be happy. If I can just get that promotion, I'll be happy. If I can just get that big piece of cake before they get it. Now, most of us are familiar with 1 Samuel 15 when Saul had disobeyed the word of the Lord. And Samuel rebuked him. And he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. There's a connection. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So basically, folks, witchcraft is counterfeit. It's counterfeit spiritual authority. People in the church can get caught up in this as well. Amen? If we don't walk in authentic spiritual authority, then we are subject to counterfeit. If we don't walk in humility, and if we don't wait on God to exalt us, and if we try some other way to get ahead, to be first, to climb the ladder, other than the process by which God will bring you there, now you're stepping into the realm of witchcraft, and you are trying through your own means to promote yourself. Now, the problem with that is when you, by your own means, promote yourself or step on someone or belittle someone, put someone else down to build yourself up, you may be up for a season, but now you're going to have to live in this place of insecurity because God establishes authority. All true authority comes from God. Illegitimate authority is what we give ourselves. And if you put yourself in the place where you thought you wanted to be and you made a way to get yourself up there, even if it meant stepping on somebody else, now you're going to live in this place of constant control. You have to control everybody to protect your territory. Are you with me today? Witchcraft is using a spirit other than the Holy Spirit. Sometimes demonic to dominate, manipulate, or control others. Folks, how many would agree with me that some of us have very strong wills? How many would agree that sometimes we can misuse our soul power? Do you know that's sometimes witchcraft comes in the form of us using our own human spirit, I want you to hear it, through an act of our strong will to try to force a result. To try to force a result maybe in somebody. Maybe it's a relationship we're trying to force a result in. Because we want it so badly and they don't seem to be responding, so we're going to try to make it happen, or we're going to try so hard to make it happen that now the person is just kind of like, whoa, back off. Too much. In my space. I've been in the ministry for over 20 years, and I've had a lot of encounters with different people, and I've been dealing with my own things too, that God has been honing me in and preparing me for what's next. God's working in all of us. We're all going through this together. Amen. There's no holier than thou's here. Amen. There's one holy one, and we're holy as long as we abide in him. But I've run into so many cases where people have been caught up with the spirit of witchcraft, and you've reached out to them. You've tried to bring guidance and some counsel to that, and to redirect them to quit being a control freak. Because what is at the root of that is insecurity. But the love of God casts out all fear. The love of God in our hearts gives us security. I'm at peace. I'm secure in the love of my Father. I don't have to control anybody else. You have been given a free will to choose. And so I have to respect your right to choose, even if we agree, disagree. Hello. Some of us have had kids. We've tried to clobber them into submission and make them listen, right? And how many discovered it just didn't work that way, maybe for a little while, but they did it reluctantly and they didn't do it because I didn't want to, you know? Yeah. You got to keep your kids in order. Don't get me wrong. But how many know they need to understand that they are responsible as an individual for their own decisions? And we need to train them by example in the way of the Lord. And as we do that, they're going to see by our life that this is real. They're going to learn more by the way we live than by what we say. How many know that you can say all the right things, but if your life don't line up with what you're saying, you're not having much impact? Let me give you a couple basic ways that witchcraft is used. How about emotional pressure? We just talked about that a little bit. Emotional pressure to manipulate others. How about hype to control others? Forcing, we talked about this, forcing one's will upon another. Now, has anybody beside myself ever been subject to verbal bullying? You know what I'm saying? Or somebody uses words to intimidate so that they can manipulate to dominate you. Now, in the sales world, which I lived for a very short time, but I started to just see a whole bunch of stuff being propagated, being taught to the salespeople that really bothered me. Because these are the very same tactics that they use often in sales to intimidate, manipulate people emotionally. Oh, they'll tell the sad story of the puppy that got ran over. They will use all kinds of different tactics to manipulate someone to make an emotional decision, which is really contrary to what they really would do normally. Folks, that's a form of witchcraft. That's a subtle, basic form of witchcraft. It's mental manipulation of others. When you come into some, even folks, it can even happen in church, where church is all hype, and they get people all pumped up and making, again, emotional decisions. But it's not by the Spirit of God. How many know that you cannot build the Church of Jesus Christ by might or power? But it's done by the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going to be because you had the best program. Now, people can build churches on hype. Are you with me? If we don't have the genuine, if we don't have the real, the authentic presence of God, then we'll have to manufacture something that mimics it. And there's a lot of bells and whistles and loud noises and this and that. But is there any substance to it? And on an emotional level, people can be manipulated through hype to even make a decision. How many times have people come down to make a decision for Jesus only because they were manipulated, hello, emotionally to do so? But if it's not by the Spirit of God that they were drawn, then it's not going to be real. Why? Because Jesus said, no one can come to the Father, right? Or come to me except the Father draws him. So in the time that the Father calls, we need to respond. We need to say yes. You see, there are people in hell, I believe, that had the opportunity, God had called their name, God had given them lots of opportunity to be saved, but in the time of His visitation, the time that He had spoke to them, they refused His voice. And you hear people say, well, on my deathbed, I'll get my heart right with God. Many people are in hell because they anticipated a deathbed experience, that someday on their deathbed, they were going to get their, make their peace with God. Folks, it's a lie right out of the pit. And I don't know about you, but the best decision I've ever made is to say yes to Jesus. Boy, I don't regret it. I'm having a great time now in life. I'm not saying everything always goes my way, but I'm telling you, I'm enjoying life now. Jesus really meant what he said when he said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Life in the Spirit. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to rely on any other spirit. Amen. We don't want to even use our own will to force others to comply with what we think is right for them. Even when it comes to, you know, again, sometimes with our kids, we want them to obey us and we want them to do this or to do that. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up using the same tactics. Are you with me? I found myself doing this before. And in a sense, trying to scare my kid to do the right thing. And, oh yeah, you can get some results for a while. But when a child grows up in an atmosphere or an environment of control and manipulation, most cases, there's one or two things that'll happen. They'll either shut down. They'll just shut down and come into a shell. Or they'll do the opposite and they'll completely rebel. Because you're violating their freedom to choose, their will. And no, I'm not suggesting that we don't discipline our children. I'm saying that with discipline, there has to be understanding established. There has to be love. Amen. There has to be grace demonstrated to our children. They need to understand it's because we love. And not that we're just mad because they messed up and embarrassed us. True spiritual authority comes from the Lord. Now, King David, if you look at the life of David, he refused to take authority or seek influence for himself. Even though David was anointed, he waited for God to install him as king. He did not even seek to be king. You know, we got a lot of Christians that are seeking for titles and positions. It's called selfish ambition. But we see David out tending sheep. They marched all of his good-looking, tall brothers, you know. Surely this one has got to be the anointed of the Lord, by all appearances. David is out. He wasn't even in the picture. He was out tending sheep. God was working in him. He was teaching him how to be a shepherd. God was preparing him. David did not seek to be king, folks. He had opportunity in his life. Did he not? To advance himself. When Saul was in the cave, he had the opportunity to take him out and to receive the throne at that time. But David wouldn't do it. David was a man after God's own heart. David had a humble heart. David was a man who waited on God and allowed God to raise him up in the appointed time or season. And he would not try through any other means of his own. Even when he cut a corner of his garment to prove that he'd been in the cave with him, he even felt guilty about doing that. But David demonstrated, you know, what a man after God's heart looks like. If you and I want to receive true spiritual authority, it's going to come through way of humility. It's going to come through servanthood. You see, this is something that in too many cases we've lost sight of in the church today. of serving one another. People want to go up the chain. People want the title, the position, the notoriety, the recognition, to be called rabbi, to be called reverend, because that makes me important. That makes me somebody. But David never sought a position. David simply walked with God, served God, and God called him. Amen? He sent Samuel. And after the lineup had gone through, the brothers went through, he says, "Is this it?" "Well, there is one more. He's out here taking care of the sheep." "Bring him out." And as soon as David, the little guy, he was a ruddy, good-looking little guy, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, he said, "This is the one. He's the king. Anoint him." Now, I want you to hear something, folks, that day, amen, God anointed David as king. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, who was the previous king, amen, who had compromised the will of God because he feared people. He actually ended up actually consulting a witch. It was because of fear that he got involved in witchcraft. He didn't wait on the Lord. And so the Spirit of the Lord left King Saul and came upon David. But this is what I want you to hear. David did not immediately ascend to the throne. David still needed to go through a process of being prepared for that assignment that God had for him. And this is where we can get into trouble, is we get in a hurry with the things of God and we want it now because we live in a microwave society. I don't want to wait for anything. And so I'm going to manipulate and control and flatter and do all kinds of things to get recognition. Hey, look over here. Look how spiritual I am. So that somebody will see how spiritual I am and say, "We need to make him an apostle. Or a prophet, so-and-so." Or you meet people, you know, they go, "How's it going? My name is, you know, so-and-so." And they go, "Well, I'm prophet. I'm apostle." What's wrong with that picture, folks? It's arrogance. It's pride. Jesus warned us. He says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the teaching. Beware of this thing that you need to somehow be important. Because the way up in the kingdom is through humility, through submission, submission, submitting yourself to the mission of God, being willing, like Jesus, to take upon yourself the form of a servant." Amen? Making yourself of no reputation. I don't care what people think. What I care about is, what does God think? Amen. What does God see about me? Am I being obedient to God, or am I fearing the people and compromising the will of God? Amen. Am I allowing the crowd to manipulate me? You see, the problem with Saul is that Saul feared the people leaving him more than God leaving him. The Philistines were mustering. They were getting ready to attack him. He was looking at this. Samuel was delaying his coming to him so that he could get some revelation as to what to do. He started to get into panic mode. He saw his men starting to rise up. Some of them, they wanted to leave. And he started to fear the people. Are you with me? And what happens when we start to fear man, folks? It leads to witchcraft. Yeah. It leads to compromise. I want to just say this, folks, because there are many Christians that get shipwrecked or they get drawn out of their assignment, their God-given assignment, because someone manipulated them. Because sometimes even well-meaning friends have manipulated their emotions. They're too afraid to lose that relationship. They're more worried about losing that friendship than they are falling out of favor with God. Are you hearing me? There are people who will choose their friends over the will of God. And folks, that is idolatry. There are times when you'll be tested and God will give you an assignment. He says, this is your assignment. I want you to dwell here. I want you to grow here. I want you to blossom here. I'm going to teach you some things here. And then the enemy, he comes along with a shortcut to the top. He says, you don't have to go through all that. Oh, you don't need to study. You don't need to prepare yourself. Here, oh, just call 1-800. You want to be ordained? Hey, 1-800, ordination. Am I right? And so the person is not submitting themselves to the process of God, and they're trying to come up another way around the cross. Folks, the cross means that I must deny myself. I cannot promote myself. I need to leave that up to God. And if we would learn to serve, take the form of a servant and begin to serve others. Jesus said, who will be greatest among you but he who serves? And too often we're just having titles and positions dangled, you know. And people, even in the church, will do all kinds of wacky stuff just to become an elder. You know? Come on. Brother Bubba was a great guy. Everybody liked Bubba. But somebody offered Bubba a position. And Bubba wasn't ready for it yet. Now Bubba is a problem. Now Bubba is in a position that God had not prepared him for. And so Bubba is now insecure. And so Bubba has now got to be in control. Come on. I hope your name isn't Bubba today. I thought that would be a safe one. Any authority we gain by our own manipulation or self-promotion will hinder our ability to receive true authority from God. So if you want true authority from God, you've got to lay down your agenda. To say, hey, okay, Lord, I'm laying it before you. God called David, but David hadn't ascended to the throne. Even when he could have taken the shortcut. And sometime, not today, but I'm going to talk about the unfortunate situation of Absalom, who was the son of David, who did not follow in the footsteps of his father, David. And sometime we'll talk about that. But in 1 Peter 5 and 6, this is it, folks. Pay attention, please. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When we are established by God, it is like being in a fortress that cannot be penetrated by the devil. The devil cannot dethrone you when God exalts you. When you exalt yourself, now you're going to live in control and fear manipulation. And often you become you actually operate in the spirit of witchcraft. Folks, there are a lot of people that are in the pulpit that God either has never called them to the pulpit or they were not ready for the pulpit. And they become control freaks because they're insecure and their people are just being manipulated and controlled by the one who's in charge. You are a free people, and a free people sometimes are very hard to manage. But we've got to allow people to be free. Are you with me? The prodigal son said, Father, give me what is mine. I'm leaving. I'm going on my own now. And the father said, son, take that which is yours. He didn't stop him. He let him go. He decided to leave his father's house. You see, he had the freedom of choice. He could choose to leave if he wanted to. But then he found himself where? In the hog pen of life. But the good news was this, is even though he went his own way, he made a mistake, he realized what he did, and he returned to his father with an expectation of, my dad's going to just probably make me shine shoes. But what did he do? He embraced him, he kissed him, he welcomed him. Hallelujah, put the shoes, right? Amen? And the fair mitre on his head and the ring says, you're a son. Amen? You have authority as a son in the house. And they had a celebration because this son who was lost is found. Amen? Was dead, but yet he is alive. So if any of us have been caught up into this thing of wanting to be something or wanting to go up or this thirst for power, folks, understand the source of that. Humble yourself. Serve. Give. Bless. And wait on God in His time to say, this is your assignment or that is your assignment. Because if you try to put yourself in an assignment that God did not choose for you, you're going to be miserable. The best place to be is exactly where God says to be. Whether anybody sees you or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God who sees in secret sees you. Some of you are spending your time on your face before God, interceding on behalf of others. You know what? God who sees in secret sees that. Maybe nobody else knows what you're doing in secret before the Lord, but the Lord sees it. And when we get there, the only thing that's going to remain, the only thing that's going to last is what we have done in obedience to the Father. Not what we thought was a good idea for us, but what God says was His purpose for us on the earth. Would you just take a moment right now to bow your heads before the Lord? Has the Lord been speaking to you maybe today about some of the things that were said? Would you be honest before the Lord? Would you humble yourself? And if that's the case, I want you to confess it to the Lord. And tell Him, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my agenda. Lord, I'm going to stop trying to force and make things happen. I'm going to wait on You. And Your timing is perfect. But Lord, I ask You to forgive me for allowing myself to be manipulated by the devil and being influenced by a spirit of witchcraft. I renounce witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Renounce it right now. I renounce that spirit of control in the name of Jesus. I humble myself before You, Lord. And I will wait patiently for You. I will commit my way to You and wait on You. And You will bring it to pass in Your time. God has given some of you, in fact, He's given us dreams, has He not? He's given you visions. He's shown you things that are yet to come. Don't lose those. Hold on to those dreams. Your best days are ahead of you. But submit it to God. Submit it and wait on the Lord. Just be faithful in the thing He puts in front of you. Be faithful with little. Be faithful with the right now thing He's told you to do. In some cases, the Lord has told you to serve others around you. He's given you someone that you're responsible for, to love and to serve and to help. Just be faithful in the assignment He gives you. And if you find yourself becoming anxious or in a hurry, know that's not from God. Let the peace of the Lord rule in your hearts. Let the peace of the Lord be that governor. If where you're at right now, you're not in peace, so you don't have peace about it, you need to inquire, Lord, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? Don't try to force or make something happen that God says is not for you. Find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what the assignment of God is for you. And do that. And in that place, you'll have contentment. You'll have peace. Hallelujah. If you try to be somebody you're not, you'll never become who you're supposed to be.